Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? Cause Stone Cold said so.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Highs and Lows on the unofficial WWE Podcast. My name is Mimi Burris, and we got a lot to talk about, so let's get right into it. Before we get into, what we'd call the meat and potatoes of the show, I did want to talk about something else, some news that broke this week real quick. I'm sure a lot of you guys saw that this week was the record low for Raw's ratings. I don't know if it was of all time or what the deal was, but I know the ratings were very low, and I know that AEW beat Raw in the 18 to 49 demographic, if I have that correctly. I'm not a big ratings buff or anything like that, but I'm interested in it because, you know, as I think you guys have heard me say on the show before, unless this is your first time here, and if it is, welcome. But you know, I'm not a fan of the product, especially Raw right now. Honestly, this is probably the worst Raw has ever been since I've been watching it, since I've been watching wrestling consistently, at least. And I don't think it is, I don't think anybody is surprised to know that, you know, it's mostly because of the old man in charge and who has the end all be all say of it, you know. It's surprising, though, because I feel like SmackDown isn't really that bad. And you've got the two same top-head guys for both shows, so I don't know how there's such a big difference. I don't know if it's the extra hour or what the deal is, but anyways, I guess I wanted to just quickly give my thoughts on this because the news that broke was essentially that Vince McMahon said that, you know, there are going to need to be some major changes on Raw starting, you know, after TLC because, you know, he's not happy about the ratings this week. And although on paper I feel like that sounds really good, right? I fear that what's going to end up happening is another retribution or what was the other thing that went on during while we were in the performance center. I'm having a total brain fart. Anyways, hotshotting is, I guess, the best way to put it, right? Just hotshotting ideas, no end in sight. Just here's an idea. Let's just, you know, send them on a ride or whatever. And so that's what, to me, seems to be Vince McMahon's solution. And I have little to no hope that there is going to be any other solution other than that. So I fear that, I don't know when, essentially, I guess what I'm trying to say is that you can change all of the missing pieces or you can change all the pieces of the puzzle, but if the filter is still the same at the end of it, you know, nothing's gonna change. And I guess that makes absolutely no sense as an analogy because no puzzle has a filter. My point being is that you can change everything that's going on, you know, in the creative team and everybody below Vince. But if Vince is still the end-all say-all or end-all be-all, you know, nothing's going to change because everything is still going to be filtered through the same filter. Long story go away. I guess my point of talking about this whole thing is, you know, I think a lot of people I heard had a little bit of hope that Raw might be better after TLC and all this other stuff because, you know, things need to change. But my fear is that when things need to change in WWE, the past does not show us that they change for the better much. So I don't mean to sound like a pessimist, but I am not hopeful. At the same time, though, I am wishful, if that makes any sense. You know, I, just like I'm sure many of you, would love to see a better product. So, you know, God willing, there's something better for us on Raw on Monday night after TLC. But I don't have a lot of hope that there will be. All right, I just wanted to talk about that real quick, get that out of the way, because I think that was some big news. You know, AEW is in their second year as a company, right? And they have already beat Raw in the 18 to 49 demographic. That's unheard of. And that should tell you something, yes, about AEW that has been a much better at least in my, I guess it's a subjective opinion, but in my opinion, a much better show storyline-wise. I think there's a lot of, you know, high spots in the matches, and that's not really my style all the time, but overall, promos, creative freedom, all of that seems to be working for AEW when WWE is on the opposite side of the coin. And it does not seem to be working so well with them with scripted promos, Vince McMahon humor, etc., etc. All right. Anyways, let's move on and let's talk about our highs and lows for the week. I don't know about anybody else, but I felt like this week was kind of mundane. I mean, there was a lot going on, but I don't know. I guess maybe it's just me, but I just wasn't excited by wrestling this week. Maybe it was because it started off with the reading of The Night Before TLC. Or Twas a Night Before TLC. Yeah, that was something. We're not even going to talk about that. We're not even going to get into that tonight. All right. Let's, I said last week we were going to start off with the low of the show. But I don't want to forget, at the end of the show, I got a new little thing I want to kind of add to this, and we'll see how it goes. Nothing big, but there's your cliffhanger to stay tuned till the end of the show if my wonderful, amazing voice and content is not enough for you. All right, your low for the week. We're going to go and jump right on over to, what do you know, Monday Night Raw. My low for the week, and I think it's probably a lot of other people's pick for this week too, not that any of you are doing this as well, but I have a feeling a lot of you will agree with me that my low for this week is the handicap match between Keith Lee versus John Morrison and The Miz on, like I said, Raw. Keith Lee. I mean, let's talk about Keith Lee for a minute, I guess. I wouldn't put Keith Lee in, like, my top five favorite wrestlers or whatever. I think, there's a couple wrestlers I like, and I try to remain as unbiased as humanly possible on this show, but, like, you know, Charlotte Flair is my top favorite wrestler, men and women. Love Finn Balor. Bianca Belair is up there already. So I've got my favorites, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And Keith Lee is not in that category, but I definitely have a lot of respect for the way he is in the ring, for his promos, and for the work he did in NXT. And I think just his presence in the ring, it's undeniable, I guess is what I'm trying to say, at least to me. And so not a giant fan of Keith Lee, but I'm not complaining when he's on my TV screen. So just to give you, I guess, a little perspective on this. But I wasn't a fan of when he came in and beat Randy Orton while Randy Orton was kind of on like a heat streak for a little while. But with that being said, they did make that decision. And then, right, it was all downhill from there. It has just been a fall from grace for Keith Lee. Let's get into this match. He was in a match with Miz and Morrison. He had this weird thing he had this weird thing in the back where he flipped a coin and said that's the only thing you guys are going to win tonight or something, and then he ended up losing. So there was that. But he's in a 2-on-1 handicap match with the Miz and Morrison, and I don't know how I feel about the Miz and John Morrison. I used to love John Morrison, and, you know, I feel like I get in a time machine and I'm back in 2000, whatever, you know, back on the WWE's rendition of ECW whenever I see them on my screen doing the dirt sheet. Also, is there a difference between Miz TV and the dirt sheet? Anybody else notice that? They just kind of pick one or the other? Is their excuse so they can have one of those on every single Monday Night Raw? I guarantee you one of these weeks coming up, we get a dirt sheet and later in the night we get a Miz TV. You can bet money on that. Anyways, again, I'm getting off track. My point being is I don't hate them. And I think that they do the best with what they're given. I don't think Miz and Morrison are coming up with this crap. If they are, it's a different conversation. But I really think they're being given this and then they're doing their best with it. And I think Miz is great on the mic, and I think John Morrison is great in the ring, and I think John Morrison is decent on the mic, and I think The Miz is decent in the ring. So I think together, whatever, if you're going to stick them together, it's not the worst thing in the world. But I think they're doing the best they can with what they've got. And my whole point to that whole spiel is that, you know, I don't think I'd mind Miz as the champion. Maybe I'm the only person on the universe to say that, but I don't think I'd mind if he cashed in and was the champion again. So I don't mind if they book him kind of strong, or at least, not strong, but at least, you know, win a couple matches here and there. But with that being said, not Keith Lee. You don't sacrifice Keith Lee for The Miz. You keep these two away from each other. If you would like to build The Miz, which they're not even doing. So this is just purposeless. It is about as purposeless as Natalya beating Bayley on SmackDown last week. What was the point? I think that was last week. I don't know. I think that was a low for last week. And that was just... No, maybe it was 2 weeks ago. That was terrible. But this was just about as purposeless as this. Because it doesn't... You're not elevating The Miz. Because you see him in all his other crap throughout the show. So we're not looking at The Miz as serious. Not to mention, The Miz and Morrison are both on top of Keith Lee. And I think they announced it as a tag team handicap match. But again, who even cares at this point? They're both pinning him together on top of him. So it's not like they can even beat them one-on-one, right? So we're not elevating The Miz or John Morrison. And then we're also burying Keith Lee little by little by having him lose this match. Not to mention the weeks prior. I mean, when was the last time we saw Keith Lee get a win? So that's why that's my low for the week. Not to mention, I think, you know, there's been news this week, too, that they sent Keith Lee back down to the Performance Center to do some more training. And from what I gather from that, it is not that Keith Lee is not unbelievable in the ring. Because he is. And he can do things that a big man shouldn't be able to do. A man his size should not be able to do the things that he does. He is unbelievably athletic. And it is incredible to watch. And that's what I was saying. I cannot complain when he is on my TV. Not a Keith Lee fan, but I also love watching him, if that makes any sense. And I think from, again, what I gathered, why they sent him back down to the Performance Center was because Vince McMahon has an idea of how big men should wrestle. Vince McMahon has an idea of how big men should look. That's why he changed up Keith Lee when he came up to the main roster, right? Changed the music, changed the, you know, he's got to wrestle with the shirt on. And so Vince McMahon has an idea of how he wants Keith Lee to be in the ring, and it is not how he was in NXT. He wants him to be a big man in the ring, not a big man who can do things that someone half his size should be doing, which I think is stupid. I think you've got an amazing talent on your hand. Why don't you just use him rather than try to change? There's no point in changing Keith Lee. Keith Lee is amazing just the way he is. But I have a feeling that's exactly what they're trying to do. So we'll see how that whole thing works out. I have a feeling it is not going to work out well for Keith Lee if you look at the history of NXT stars who have come up to the main roster and then begged to go back down to NXT, i.e. your NXT champion, Finn Balor. And I guess with that, I'll use that as a smooth transition over to my high for the week. Before I get into the official high for the week, I actually just want to talk about NXT real quick. An amazing show this week. I thought, you know, decent promo from Finn Balor. Interesting promo work between Kyle O'Reilly, Pete Dunne, and Damian Priest. And then not to mention, right, which was like runner-up for my high for the week, but the number one contender match between Kyle O'Reilly and Pete Dunne. Unbelievable. Hard-hitting. Probably one of the best matches in NXT, and I say that with high hopes for NXT for 2021 because it seems like they're slowly moving back to the old formula of a little less hot-shotting for ratings because they're in the Wednesday night war, if you can even call it that, with AEW, and a little bit more back to just the way NXT is... What made NXT so captivating for a lot of fans who aren't a huge fan of the main product of Raw and SmackDown. I don't even want to call it that. I know NXT is supposed to be this third brand, but it seems like NXT, I guess, to wrap that all up and put a bow on it, it seems like NXT is on the uphill or trending upwards for 2021. So I am looking forward to seeing what they do next year. That being said, though, like I said, that was going to be my high for the week until I watched Talking Smack. Yes, Talking Smack, the wonderful show that airs, oddly enough, on Saturday mornings on the WWE Network. And you might be saying, does that count? Can I use that? That there's no wrestling on that show? Well, this is my show, so I'm going to do what I want. And this week I am picking Kevin Owens' promo on Talking Smack because, wow. Again, the words were not particularly... I guess my point is the promo wasn't particularly awe-inspiring, but it was the delivery that really got me and the realness about Kevin Owens to the point where Kevin Owens accomplished the seemingly impossible in making me have a 1% chance belief that he could actually take the title from Roman Reigns at TLC. Because we all know what's going to happen, right? But the fact that he was able to have this realness about him that made me so, that made me believe that he actually might possibly sort of almost kind of have a chance at beating Roman at TLC is why this is taking my high for the week. And I enjoy this so much to the point where I don't know if you saw this, but if you didn't, go watch it. I think it's actually on Kevin Owens' Twitter. But before I say anything more about it, I'm actually going to play some audio from it because I have a feeling not as many of you watch Talking Smack as you might as well any of the other shows, wrestling shows of the week. So I am going to play a little bit of audio from it. And then if you haven't seen it, like I said, I would go check it out.
Except for my wife, my kids, and my parents, there is nothing I'm not willing to sacrifice to get that title back. Paul, I have a message for you, and I know you say you love to play the innocent messenger, that's all you are, and I'm going to humor you and pretend like that's true because I have a message for you to bring back to Roman. I need you to make sure Roman understands that come Sunday, your boy is in trouble. Because after tonight, as important as winning the Universal title back is to me, beating Roman Reigns is even more important. Do you understand what I just said? All right.
So, I'm sorry, guys. I know that was a little bit long, but I wanted to get at least my favorite portion of that in there so you guys could hear what I was talking about. I don't think the audio even does this justice. I think you need to look at the visual of Kevin Owens. He's almost got this weird emotionless but also super emotional feel about him, and I don't know how else to explain it, but wow. And he's looking at Paul Heyman, and Paul Heyman is being Paul Heyman, which is great. Paul Heyman is not one of the best promos, but he's also one of the best reactors in WWE. Got some of the best facials of anybody I've seen. So this takes my high for the week for that purpose that I said that, you know, Kevin Owens managed to make me have a small belief that he actually had a chance or he actually has a chance at TLC. And I think Kevin Owens is such a great heel. I think he does a really good job at he can be very conniving, and his run, I don't even know what year it was, but with Chris Jericho for a little while, and I think he faced Seth Rollins a bunch of times, and Roman Reigns and stuff. He was a great heel. He was annoying. He was easily hateable. But I think just as good, if not better, Kevin Owens is an amazing babyface as well, because he's just so likable. You know, I don't know if it's just a stunner that he does or whatever, but he does. He has a slight, you know, stone cold general, you know, just another guy, you know, bozo on the bus, just like someone you could relate to feeling that makes him so likable. I don't know if it's that. I don't know if it's because he doesn't look like every other big muscular guy. I know it's because he's amazing on the mic. That's definitely part of it, right? But he just has this ability to draw you in, make you relate, make you feel, right, and have you root for him, at least, again, in my subjective opinion. So Kevin Owens takes my high for this week, although I have to say real quick, I guess, SmackDown, I thought all that Rey Uso, Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens stuff was very convoluted. Kind of too much going on for me. Almost overkill. Like, we get it. You're beating up Kevin Owens. We get it. You know. And then Adam Pearce is so protective of the main event, but like, where is he when Kevin Owens is getting the crap beat out of him? Kind of no logical sense there. I don't know. I didn't love the way they were on SmackDown, but to me, Kevin Owens saved this program on Talking Smack. I am so glad I saw this and watched this and heard Kevin Owens, because this made me 10 times more excited for the match at TLC, because now I am even more emotionally invested. And although there were a bunch of great matches this week, Toni Storm, Rhea Ripley, again, we could go on and on, Bianca Belair, Bayley, and of course some of the men's matches too. I talked about Kyle O'Reilly and Pete Dunne. That was amazing. And Tommaso Ciampa and Tyler Rust. That was another great match. Again, a lot of great wrestling this week, but you know, and if you've heard my show before, I am big on storytelling, and that is what Kevin Owens did on Talking Smack. So that is why he is taking my high for the week. Quickly, I also want to mention, I don't know if anybody heard this leaked, I think it was an Instagram post, Kayla Braxton posted, of Sami Zayn, and it was like, it was kind of akin to the Tom Cruise leaked audio about him yelling at some of the guys on set at Mission Impossible for not following social distancing or something. I didn't listen to the clip, but I did hear about it, and I think this is kind of probably where whoever did this got the idea from. But essentially, Sami Zayn is yelling at whatever WWE backstage production members about the Sammy Awards getting, which by the way were brilliant, the Sammy Awards, but the Sammy Awards getting interrupted. Loved it. Sami Zayn, awesome. This is as close as we're getting nowadays to, at least in WWE, to someone committing to their character all the time. So it was super cool that they did something again that was outside, that just added. I mean, this is not going to do, I'm sure they'll play it 14 times on SmackDown next week or on TLC Sunday, but this was something that just added a little bit more to Sami Zayn's character and made his character on TV a little bit more believable. Because, like, someone like Roman Reigns, what's so good about the Roman Reigns character right now is you believe he's that much of a jerk, for lack of a better term, for PG terms, you believe he is that much of a jerk, an entitled jerk, and that's why you believe it so much and why you're invested in it. Sami Zayn is making me believe that he's really this much of a jerk backstage. So just wanted to throw that one out there too. That was incredible. Sami Zayn, Sammy Awards, Big E. I'm looking forward to that program, which seems to be coming along, which probably means that Daniel Bryan is the next opponent for Roman Reigns. So tons of stuff to look forward to for SmackDown. I think almost every week, maybe not last week, but almost every week so far, Raw has probably taken my low for the week. So let's hopefully see some major changes coming up in 2021 that are thought out and not retribution-esque. All right. And last but not least, I said I had one more little thing I wanted to add to this show. And I thought, I think I mentioned probably on the preview show for Survivor Series. I watch a lot of old pay-per-views, you know, recent old, you know, 19, whatever, 2010, 2010. 19, whatever, like from a year ago to 20 years ago, I just put on a lot of pay-per-views kind of in the background or when I'm bored. I really just love wrestling. And for me, it's, I don't know if it's soothing, whatever, which is weird. You think about that, having people fight them each other on my TV is soothing, but whatever. Watch a lot of wrestling, watch a lot of the network. And I come across a lot of great matches that I'm like, what the heck? Why don't I remember this? So I thought every week now, I'm on my highs and lows at the end of the show, I will give you guys a random match recommendation, pick out from whatever I was watching that week or the week previous, and give you guys a match to go check out if you've got the network, or I'm sure you can find it somewhere on YouTube or whatever, that you might not remember, or have any idea that it even happened. So, this week's random, or this this first week's, I already forgot what I called it. What did I call it? Random match recommendation is going to be two 2018 SummerSlam, Seth Rollins versus Dolph Ziggler for the Intercontinental Championship, and I think it was a 30-man Iron Man match. I mean, Seth Rollins, Dolph Ziggler, it's going to be a great match. Two people who actually are incredible wrestlers in the ring. They actually had a really good story going on, I thought, too, which just topped it off even more. Drew McIntyre was involved. This whole thing, I thought, was... When I watched it, I remembered back a little bit to kind of what was going on previous, and I can't recommend it more, guys. I really recommend you go check it out. SummerSlam 2018, Seth Rollins versus Dolph Ziggler for the Intercontinental Championship, 30-minute Iron Man match. It sells itself. So that's all from me this week, guys. I think a little bit of a longer show than usual, but I'm excited for TLC. I have a feeling there's not going to be a lot of changes. I have a feeling most things are probably going to stay the same, considering we are coming up on 2021 and WWE really kicks it into high gear come Royal Rumble season. So I'm excited anyways, though. I think there's going to be some great matches, and I hope you guys like the pay-per-view as well. And I will talk to you guys next week.